Okay, so the Mishnah that I would like to discuss today comes from Perek Bet Mishnah Bet, the second chapter of the cycle. And this Mishnah discusses a couple of things that seem different, but the thing that ties it together is that the author of the Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel, is going to argue that there are a couple of things that come together with Torah. So last week we talked about a Sefer Torah Keva and the importance of making the Sefer Torah fixed. So some of what we're discussing this week is sort of an outgrowth of that. And even with the emphasis that Chazal placed on studying Torah, that's the most important pursuit that one can have, there are a couple of things that complement it and are necessary for it. The Mishnah says, Rabban Gamliel ben Yosha Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, Yafet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. Excellent is the study of Torah when combined with Derech Eretz. So I'm purposely not yet translating Derech Eretz because it can mean a couple of different things, and the implications of that are quite strong. So why are these two important together? For the Torah, both of them keeps sin out of one's mind or causes one to forget or get rid of sin. And then it goes further to say, if Torah is not combined with labor or worldly occupation, I know it's using a different word here before we said melacha, before we said derech eretz, here we're saying melacha. So if Torah is not combined with melacha, sofa p'tei lav l'gorer avo, it will come to be neglected and will cause sin. That's the first part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah says, L'chol ha'melim imat zibor, hiyu ha'melim imahem l'shem shemayim. Those who labor on behalf of the community should do so for the sake of heaven. Shesput avotam b'sayatam b'tzikatam omed ala'ad. Because the merit of the forefathers sustains them, community and perhaps the people who are laboring, and their righteousness endures forever. And as for you, I will credit you with reward as if you did it yourself. So again, these are two parts of the Mishnah. They might seem to be separate, but we'll see how perhaps they combine. So as the first thing to explore in this Mishnah, it says, Yafet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, that the study of Torah is excellent when combined with Derech Eretz. So what does Derech Eretz mean? So there's two fundamental definitions we can go with. One provided by Rav Avadi Bar Tanura. I tell my students that he's kind of like the Rashi on the Mishnah, even though there's Rashi on Mishnah, but in printed editions of Mishnah, Rav Avadi Bar Tanura is the one who really goes line by line or explains most lines in a very concise way. So he says Derech Eretz is Mlacha or Oschora, labor or trade. A little of a bit of a difference between the two. Labor, going out into the field and you're working with your own hands. Schora, trade, being a merchant. So you're not in the business of creating anything, but you have things that you're trading around. Okay, so somewhat different things, but the idea is that it's Torah with business. Torah with a parnasa, Torah and making a living. That's what Rav Avadi Bar Tanura says. The other way you can go on this is the way that the Tiferet Yisrael explained. He says, "Ritzono lomar limud haTorah hu yafeh rak sheyesh imam musar v'anava." Learning Torah is only beneficial when it includes morals and humility. So Derech Eretz is being defined as morals and humility. And so, especially like in school, when I was growing up, certainly true today, certainly true. When we talk about Derech Eretz, we talk about sort of respect, having good character traits. Here you have it's being humble. So on one hand, Derech Eretz can be labor, work, making a living. Derech Eretz can also mean morals and humility. Now, when it says Torah in Derech Eretz, so it's possible to read it as saying that Torah is accompanying Derech Eretz, which would make it sound like that Derech Eretz is really the main thing, and Torah is something that comes along with it. And in fact, Rabbeinu Tam is reported to have said that in fact, Derech Eretz is of the essence. Derech Eretz is the most essential part. Torah comes to accompany Derech Eretz. So that is one way we can understand this idea of Torah, Torah in Derech Eretz, that Torah comes to serve for Derech Eretz, but Derech Eretz is the primary endeavor. So this causes a big bit of a tumult in the commentators because it seems to go against everything we believe in. We believe that Torah is what you make your kavah, Torah is what we make fixed, Torah is what we dedicate ourselves to, and this is something that really, you know, comes up in Pirkei Avos. You don't even have to go outside Pirkei Avos. You can see many places in Pirkei Avos where learning Torah can be seen as one of the most important pursuits. And yeah, it seems that Rabbeinu Tam is making a suggestion based on his reading of the Mishnah that in fact Derech Eretz is the most important. So I think the way you understand this partially depends on which definition of Derech Eretz you use. So the Maharal, in his commentary of Pirkei Avos, Maharal Prague, Rabbi Yehuda Lo Betzalel, so he says that Derech Eretz, it would seem, he doesn't say this explicitly, but it seems like Derech Eretz is not necessarily referring to labor, but he does actually refer a little bit to labor here. But a person shouldn't say, it's enough for me to learn Torah and just rely on my Torah learning and that will solve all my problems and that will give me everything I need in my life. And not to do labor, not to turn to anything else. But your priorities have to be in order. Okay? Heavenly matters, spiritual pursuits have to be done in their proper order, in their proper priority. And therefore, it's Yafet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. And Derech Eretz is a primary. Talmud Torah comes along with it. And you shouldn't reverse that order. Okay, so Derech Eretz comes first, Torah comes second. And that's why it says Yafet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, because Derech Eretz, it comes first. This is echoed in a phrase that comes up in Midrash Rabbah and Vayikra. It's a short line, but it's quoted like a lot. Derech Eretz kama l'Torah. Derech Eretz precedes Torah. So this is what the Maharal said. Derech Eretz precedes Torah. And why is that so? Because that's really the way the world works, and it's the way human beings work. If we think of Torah as being an intellectual pursuit of sorts, so our ability to grasp the intellect and to really make something intellectual only comes a little bit later. Okay, so especially if you think of Torah, of Derech Eretz as being morals, manners, that kind of thing. So children start to build that character at the youngest of ages. From the very beginning, that's the kind of education that that parents give their children. It's just, you know, learning how to act appropriately. What kind of character traits we should have. That's something we start with a very young age. But teaching a child the actual Torah, setting them down in front of the Flemish, in front of the Gemara, comes later. So therefore, that shows us a general pattern. Even, you know, later in life, it shows that that naturally speaking, Derech Eretz precedes Torah. That the intellect only comes after sort of the non-intellectual idea of Derech Eretz. So that's based on this latter part of the Mishnah. I think he must be interpreting Derech Eretz as, it could be that, you know, Derech Eretz as being labor could still be something that's, you know, in theory not intellectual. And most people went to work, they weren't sitting down at desks and having to think, but they were using their hands. They were doing labor. But still, it seems like to me that the idea that he's getting across here is that a person has to learn how to, you know, to just interact with the world in an appropriate manner, and then you know, one can begin to grasp Torah. I once heard a part that was said to me in the name of Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach, We say in the morning, Le'olam Yehe Adam Yireishem, Le'olam Yehe Adam Yireishemayim, the Sefer Rabbi, that a person should be a Yireishemayim. So Shlomo Zalman said that a person before being a Yireishemayim has to be an Adam. A person has to be, and we often use the word mensch to mean somebody who's like an upstanding person, but the word mensch literally means a person. That'd be a person who is a refined person before he could be a Yireishemayim. So that would seem to be what the Maharal is trying to get at. Before we can begin to grasp the intellectual details of the Torah, perhaps the Torah can expand upon what it means to be a moral upstanding person, but a person has to have a sense for that person. I think there's something very powerful in that, especially when Torah becomes an intellectual thing, and it's difficult in halacha to define exactly what morals are. So if you only look at it from intellectual pursuit, so everything can become a pimple, everything can be discussed and argued and whatnot, a person has to have an innate sense of what it means to be moral and ethical before they begin to start getting into these finer details and discussions of halacha. In a similar vein, not quite the same way, Rechonon Wasserman, Hashem from Damo, was killed in the Shoah, was a crime student of Avraham Soloveitchik in Europe. So he discusses the idea that the Derech Eretz refers to good deeds. So not necessarily morals in a lofty way, but good deeds. So in the Midrash it says, so on the Pasuk, Sol Sbulah B'Shemen, flour mixed in with oil, that Torah is the flour, and you need to mix it with oil, meaning with good deeds, with action. Okay? So the reason why Rabbeinu Tam is saying that Derech Eretz is Ikar over Torah is because learning itself is not of the essence, but it's action that is the most essential thing. Learning comes to serve action. We say in the Gemara Kiddushin, it says, they ask whether learning is greater or action is greater. So we say learning is greater because it brings to action. Gadol Talmud to Mevili De Masa. So, but that's it. So on one hand, yes, Torah might be greater, but it's not a means, it's not an end of itself, but it's a means to an end in order to perform actions, to perform mitzvot. So what we're saying is that really, yes, while Torah is essential and there's a whole polemical context to what Rabbi Fanon wrote here about the importance of Torah. But at the end of the day, Torah comes to bring to actions the actions that are really what we're aiming for, as important as Torah is. Okay, so we have a couple of approaches here that explain why really Derech Eretz is the Ikar. The Machzor Vitri, a lot of really approaches of Rashi, but compiled by one of Rashi's students. He does a lot with Tefillah, but also has this discussion from Pirkei Avos. So he says, so Rabbeinu Tam might have thought that Derech Eretz is the emphasis of the essence, but it's not really true. And really, they're both equal. And it's possible to read something. You say something with this, so it doesn't necessarily mean that one is serving it to the other. It could be that it's just both of them equally. So, and in fact, you could say, said Torah first, so maybe Torah really does come first, but you could say that Torah and Derech Eretz are equal. That's what Matzor says. And Hagos Maimonides, which is one of the only Ashkenazi commentaries on the page of the Rambam, so he brings a view that actually really Torah is the essence, and find a number of proofs for this says in the Gemara Brachos that those who made their Torah the essence, the most essential thing, and their work was more lax in nature, so both were upheld. Says later in Pirkei Avos that there are 48 ways in which the Torah is acquired, including mutes Derech Eretz by decreasing Derech Eretz. So some of these sources have come to put the idea that Torah is of the essence. But again, I think what comes out of this, it depends on how you define Derech Eretz. Because if Derech Eretz referring to character, to morals, to basic human decency. So you can make an argument that Derech Eretz is really the primary, is a primary emphasis or primary importance. But if we're talking about Torah versus work, so you might come out with the argument that Torah is of the essence. It's interesting because there have been a couple of philosophies over the last couple of years that discuss the ideas of Torah with other things. So, for example, there's a movement created by Rav Shimshon Rebal Hirsch called Torah in Derech Eretz, based on this Mishnah, Yafet Tamu Torah in Derech Eretz. So his approach is Torah in Derech Eretz, that Torah is enhanced and complemented by being knowledgeable, by being educated, by being worldly, by being cultured. But even then, the way it's actually looked at is it's Torah in Derech Eretz, that Torah is what comes first. And the same as has been said about Torah Mada, which is the slogan of Yeshiva University, Torah with science or Torah with knowledge, that it's Torah first, Mada second, Torah first, Derech Eretz second. So even for those recent movements that have endorsed other pursuits that can complement our understanding of Torah, I'm not going to get into the finer details of that right now, but those who upheld and articulated those views still believe that really that Torah is the most important thing, but the other things are complementary to it, enhance it, but Torah is still entirely essential. There's actually a very beautiful, Quintus actually probably pull it up right here for those who can see. So a beautiful pamphlet that was written by Rav Shimon Schwab, who was the rabbi of the Werther community, which is the continuation of the community that our Shem Shem followers created. So he was Rabbi Breuer's community in Washington Heights in the late 20th century. So he was more inclined to the Torah-only perspective, so to speak. But he wrote a whole pamphlet called Elu the Elu, these and these, meaning these and these are the words of the living God, where he goes back and has this whole dialogue. Do we believe in Torah? Do we believe in Torah in Derech Eretz? Is there a place for both of them? He really models, and he wrote the whole thing, so it's just him, but he really models what it means to have a respectful dialogue back and forth. So I thought it's worth mentioning that right now, because during the 9 days as with Tisha B'av approaching, as we often emphasize the importance of Avad Israel, and that the Beit HaMikdash can be rebuilt through love of Israel in order to fix the sin of Chinam that led to the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, that Rabbi Schwab really goes to pains to say that it's extremely important. He says as much towards the end. I don't know if I can find it. He says, why should we not emphasize what binds us together rather than what rends us apart? Even though I think he personally believed more, he did not believe so much in Torah and Derech Eretz, but he still believed that it's a legitimate fashion and there should be a place for both ideas. So it's a really beautiful way to model respectful dialogue, even with ideological differences. So that takes a little bit far afield, but I thought it was still important to note that this idea of Torah and Derech Eretz that are first created come from this Mishnah. But again, when Torah is coming with another, if we put aside the idea of Derech Eretz being morals and values and like, if Derech Eretz is being defined as labor, or any other sort of pursuit. So to be a Jew means that, you know, our uniqueness is not in our culture or worldliness or in our job, but our uniqueness is found in our Torah. And that's something that we have to forget. Okay. So the Bekeres Mishnah points out that it's interesting because earlier in the Mishnah it said, Yafet Talmud to write in their Eretz, Torah is good with Derech Eretz, And then it says Tarasha Eini Mam Lacha, if Torah does not come with Lacha, then it will be neglected, it will be cancelled. So why does it use both the terms Derech Eretz and Lacha if Derech Eretz refers to labor? So he presents a perspective that perhaps there's really three different things here, that Torah refers to intellectual virtues and Derech Eretz refers to moral virtues, like the Tiferet Yisrael explains, and Melacha is work. But he says, no, actually, he doesn't see it that way. He says that we already learned earlier in the Mishnah and Perek, and in the first Perek, that one should love labor. So this comes to teach us that a person should be complete in their learning and in their actions. But this is intended by both the terms Derech Eretz and Melacha. So he's actually taking that side that Derech Eretz is more of the moral virtue, but okay. Okay, so Mishnah said that it's important to have Torah with Derech Eretz because toiling in both of them will rid one of sin. So why is that? So Reviving Rachinura says, Shatara Matesha Kochosha Adam. Study Torah dulls the strength of a person, and the work pulls apart and breaks the body. As a result of this evil impulse, it's rendered idle from him. Actually, I think early Puritans were actually very much of this ideal that a person should never be idle because sin will be crouching. I don't remember what book I was reading where this came up. It was like a book I was reading in those stories. Scarlet Letter, maybe? I don't know. But it's something to be separate. Like if you're busy all the time, so it's hard to get yourself into trouble with things that you shouldn't be doing because you're always occupied. So it's one reason, because you come home, you're too tired to do anything else. So you don't have a yetzer hara to go to the bar and the like. Rashi says, what does it mean that both of these things are rid one of sin? So he puts a different perspective that since a person's learning Torah, they're also engaged in profession, so then a person isn't coveted in stealing money from others. Okay, it's interesting that the two have to go together here. I think part of it is on the one hand, person's working, so they have a living, so they don't need to steal from others. But on the other hand, if a person learns, and they also learn the importance of not cheating, of being honest. So that's why the two seem to go together. So Rabbi Maggie Bartender posed the question. So okay, so if the idea of having Torah and Melacha was that one would be so busy and so tired that they won't have Yetzer Hara. So why doesn't a person just learn a lot of Torah? And if they're constantly toiling in Torah, it's also using your brain all day, it can be very tiring. Sitting in a base medrash for 10 hours a day can be very, very tiring. So why does a person need to work then? So the reason for that is because if a person doesn't earn a living, so then they don't have anything to sustain themselves, to feed their families. And then they end up robbing others, and then your Torah is forgotten, not worth anything. So it's not just about breaking down the Yetzer Hara, but it's also important. And this is something that's emphasized a lot, that that it really is important for a person to make a living, honest living, so that they don't have to resort to unwarranted means to make a living. Rabbeinu Yonah adds, it's not just that person will come to steal, but if a person doesn't have work, they neglect their work, and then become poor. So there's even more sins in that. Because first, a person's going to love, they're going to like getting gifts, or they're going to want to get free money. And there's a pasuk sone matanas yichya, that person should hate gifts. So that's one problem. And person starts to flatter people, even if they're wicked, so then you get yourself into trouble that way. And then even if you get that money, so then you still resort to being a thief or a kidnapper, or you start to gamble, and then you start to steal from poor people in order to make your living, and just on and on and on, until a person transgresses all the mitzvot of the Torah, because I've read word out there that one sin leads to another. Part of that is sort of, I guess, by necessity, that when, you know, as you do something once, it just becomes easier to do it. Even with that, within that one particular sin, it just becomes habituated, becomes normal. And then even with other sins, you know, you start to think, well, you know, I'm doing this sin, and this doesn't really make me a good Jew. And maybe I'm just not a good Jew, so maybe I should just drop it all and just admit that I'm not a good Jew. So either way, so it leads to at least more sins than just stealing, according to Rabbi Yonah. Yorchas Tzadikim adds a spiritual, even a more spiritual element to it, a very beautiful idea. Yorchas Tzadikim is not a commentary of Pirkei Avos, but it's its own Musar Sefer, I think from the 1500s. I think it's anonymous, actually. I don't think we know who the author is. So here's the question. So why were we created to do work? Why do we have to work so hard to get everything we need? Wouldn't it be so much easier just if we had everything provided for us? Sort of like the way it wasn't God needed. So he says if everything was handed to us in a silver platter, so first of all, we lose out on mitzvahs, such as in the mitzvah to give tzedakah, and to not to rob and not to be thieves, and to not covet. I think there's actually, when we look at the, we often say at the end of Pirkei Avos, we're not doing it here because we don't say Kaddish, but after learning, we often say, that Kaddish Baruch Hu wants to bless us and to make us worthy with a lot of mitzvot, to give us a lot of merit, so he gave us a lot of mitzvot. So mitzvot are fairly easy to do. It's not steal, to not, you think that's a fairly easy thing to do. Now, the example that's given is to not eat shratzim, to not eat creepy crawly things, but nobody wants to do that anyway. But the fact that it's a mitzvah means that our desisting from it means that we've fulfilled a mitzvah. So you see, you know, by we would actually be losing out on something, on the opportunity to just do what God wants us to do, if we didn't have the need for mitzvahs like tzedakah and to not steal. But I think even more importantly, he talks about the importance of bitachon, of trusting in Hashem, that if everything's handed to us, we have no reason to have a relationship with Hashem. Take it for granted, Hashem's there, I have everything. I don't need to interface with Hashem. Maybe he's in the background, but I have nothing to do with that. But a person having that needs is something that that generates our relationship with Hashem. That's why Chizkiyahu HaMelech hid the Sefer Refuos, the book that provided healing and book of medicine, because that person would just end up trusting in science and medicine. Which, by the way, this, we've sort of gotten to that point today where I think one thing that, you know, word that most of us are taking from COVID is that science is not a god, and even if everything seemed to be so easy and all figured out, it's really not like that. We still need Hashem in the picture for that. So it's important to have the idea of finding a parnasa in order to have bitachon, that will still be in a situation of constantly needing. That's why even if one says that the real mitzvah d'oraisa of davening is only when you're eitz tzara, so the truth is we're always in eitz tzara because we always need Hashem to provide things. The reason Orchot Tzadikim provides for needing to work is that otherwise we don't have to work. So like we said above, we just end up resorting to doing other things that are sinful. We're constantly chasing after pleasure because we can. So that's why the Mishnah says Torah study is good with Erev Eretz, because the two of them together can help rid one. Okay. First, Yisrael takes in maybe in a little less dramatic direction, but the reason why Torah needs to come with work, right? Even if you're acting ethically, okay, so you're not talking about anything ethically, but simply if your Torah doesn't come with parnasa, then you're just simply looking for your needs all the time. So that's not sinful per se. A lot of people who brought that as a problem is that it's sinful, but the need to beg per se is not a situation that we want to find ourselves in. Okay, the Midrash Shmuel takes in a totally different direction. So what's a Torah She'eni Lo Melacha? So you're saying that if a person doesn't study Torah for the right purposes, it sort of goes back to the idea of Torah leading to action. But if a person learns Torah only because it's an intellectual pursuit, but they have no intention of fulfilling mitzvos, so that leads one to a more dangerous situation, because if you're not learning Torah and have no plans to acquire it, so your sins are worse, because we're generally, you know, we think of sinning out of ignorance as being better than sinning intentionally. So if a person learns but they have no intention of being exposed, then their punishment is just simply, or their punishment is simply worse, because now they know what they should know, what they should be learning, what they should be doing. They specifically are not doing it. The Torah can't be an intellectual pursuit. It's the Torah with a malacha here being defined as action, as carrying out carrying commandments. Okay. Now, for the last few minutes, I want to go back to this second part of the Mishnah. You said that those who labor with community, those who work on behalf of the community, should be doing it for the sake of heaven, because the merits of their forefathers sustains them, etc. So let's unpack this a little bit. The Midrash Shmuel, in Source 17 here, says that those who work for the community, so before, and this is where the Mishnah connects, because before we were saying it's really important to learn Torah, it's really important to make a living. But what happens if a person is really involved in taking care of the needs of the community, and they can't make a living or as good of a living, and they don't have time to learn Torah? So what are you going to do? So Midrash Shmuel says the person should feel bad about that. You shouldn't give up your work, because as long as you're doing it, L'shem Shemayim, it has to be for the right cause. But doing work for the communities when it's being done for the right reasons is very, very important. So a person needs to volunteer their time, but it takes away from other things that might be important. So the Mishnah telling us here that this is something that's actually very, very positive, in as much as we emphasize Torah, Derech Eretz, and the like. And in fact, the Rambam sort of adds to that by saying that if a person is taking care of the needs of the community, and they can't be involved in other mitzvahs that can be learned in Torah, so God considers it as if they did it, and they get reward for having done it, even though they didn't do it. Because, again, everybody here emphasizes the importance of it being Hashem Shemayim for the sake of heaven, but communal needs are so important that somebody has to make the sacrifices, and if it's being done Hashem Shemayim, then we're going to give the person not only reward, I guess, for having done the Tzarchei Tzibur, but also for whatever mitzvahs they might have neglected in the process. Tiferes Yisrael emphasizes that even though we said Torah in Derech Eretz and Parnassah are so important because the Rigel Nifsin, even so, Tikatam Zoto Meta Lahan Bechol Davar, that righteousness endures, as the Mishnah says, when they're involved in communal need. So it's not just, you know, focusing on my own avodas Hashem and focusing on my own jobs, but especially engaging in communal needs is something that comes with great reward. Okay? The Shmuel continues on by saying that after we're told that we have to make a living and sustain ourselves, So this is something that perhaps our community appreciated, specifically Booster to myself. So let's say a person, and we said that a person should have parnasa, person should have work. But what if a person is being sustained by the community? Their salary is being paid by the community to do their needs, and they don't have their own work. So you get paid more for the things that are worth more, you get paid less for things that are worth less. But whatever it is, that those who are working for Tzarek and Tzibur should not burden the community by asking them for too much, too big of a salary. And don't ask for so much of a compensation. So why is that? First of all, it probably is, you know, good midos. But official lo in the vadama suvu gamur otawai. It's like, Rashi ben shu tefin bo. Hello, who should scoot avu tam esayetam. That, okay, if you merit to work for the needs of the community, and we're saying that there's great reward for that, at the same time, your success doesn't really come from your own efforts. It comes from the efforts of your ancestors. That's what it's saying when it says those who labor for the sake of heaven because the merits of their ancestors assist them. Okay, so it's not really your work and it's your own power. It's the merits of those who came before you that help you be successful. So when you think about it that way, so you really only deserve even half the reward that you're getting for a particular task. So that's a very humbling thing that and Varim says these a couple of weeks that we're not supposed to say kochi votes and yadi. That my own labor caused my success comes from, of course, Hashem, but also from those who came before us, who set us up for success, perhaps whose merits we rely on. So we should be humble for that both, I guess, in our attitude, but the Drash Bullet says it also in terms of whatever compensation we get from that. So it says that we've been talking about the importance of doing this L'shem Shemayim. So what does it mean L'shem Shemayim? So it means not to, that we shouldn't try to derive benefit from it, we shouldn't do it for honor, for our own benefit, and also not to lord over them. L'hani gam b'derek kishar, in order to help people go down the straight path to help people do the right thing. So that's very something that's very important, something that, especially today, aspiring Jewish leaders are encouraged to think about is why is it that I'm going into what I'm doing? Why is it they want to help? Is it because I want honor? Is it because I'm going to benefit somehow? Is it because I want power? So that's something that's very important for anybody who goes into communal leadership, whether it's lay or rabbinic, to think about that this isn't about us, and it's not about our honor, it's not about power, but we have to do it for Hashem. It's a very, very necessary message. We could be here for a while talking about people who did not internalize that message and what the serious consequences of that are. But we're reminded that we're doing this for Hashem, for the sake of community, and not for ourselves. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to say that how safe the Torah could see where he feels from hard ben ma'od. As somebody who works in a community will benefit themselves very much. There are spiritual benefits to it, but again, it has to be l'shem shemayim. It can't be for my own desire and benefit, my own power. It really does have to be something that's l'shem shemayim. It has to be for the sake of the community. Some might simply say that that, you know, that when you go into leadership, so people don't necessarily appreciate the work that you put in, and remnants of our job, and presidents of our job. But there's a lot of reward for it. So volunteerism is a good thing. Doing things for the sake of the community, however big, however small, is a value that we definitely promote. It's a good pursuit. In addition, as we've been saying, in addition to learning Torah, as much as, you know, we could say that a person should spend all their time learning Torah, but we also need people to do things on behalf of the community, whether it's stuck-up, whether it's you know, taking care of financial aspects of the community, creating programming for community. All of this stuff is extremely important. And this is Meshe Chachma's word about Noach versus Moshe. Noach stayed in his Noach stayed in his teva. Noach stayed in his ark, and he concentrated on himself. But he didn't benefit. He didn't benefit from it. In fact, he ended up getting drunk. He gets called Ish Adama. He becomes a man of the land. So, you know, you can be sheltered and still not not gain so much from it spiritually. And on the other hand, Moshe started as an Ish Mitzri. He started as an Egyptian man, but he ends up as being Ish Elohim. And Moshe, being the greatest prophet, so he could have just tried to stay in the Mishkan the whole time with Hashem and tried to only concentrate on spiritual pursuits. But he had to help the community, he had to teach the community, he had to work with people. And as a result, it becomes Ish Elohim. So working with Tzarechei Tzibur is something that's very rewarding, even though it does take away from things, but it's also important to know why you're going into it, to do it for the right reasons. And in fact, Moshe was the most humble person on the face of the earth. The Machzor Vitri will end with this. Has a very beautiful idea that if you are doing things for the sake of the community, you're working very hard, and whatever you're doing isn't successful. Okay, you're trying to you have a new vision, a new idea, you're trying to build it up, and it just doesn't work, it flops. Nonetheless, a person shouldn't give up, shouldn't hang up the towel, shouldn't say that it's not worth anything, I didn't benefit from anything, because that's not true, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, sort of as I said before, but I think in this context it's even more powerful, that Kadosh Baruch Hu considers whatever our efforts are as if we did it. And Gemara says that a machshava tova, that a good thought, is joined along with the intention, even when a person can fully follow through, but a person had the right intention, they really truly intended to do it, so they get, so Kadosh Baruch Hu considers as if they did it. So sometimes people get discouraged from volunteering because it doesn't work, their efforts don't seem to pay off, and yet trying is worth all of that, and that's where the school talk about, that's where merits are about. So what we got from this Mishnah is that on the one hand, Torah is of the essence, Torah is extremely, extremely important, and nonetheless, the other pursuits that, whether it's having a job, whether it's developing our ethical character, whether it's working on behalf of the community, helping others, so all of those things very much come together and are very much part of our Avodah Hashem.